How many of you remember from last week, how many of these mysteries are found in the Old Testament? I heard Amy. How many of these are in the Old Testament? Oh, none. There's none in the Old Testament. Now, you've got the numbers right, but they're all found in the New Testament. That was a trick question. That makes us think, though, kind of think, oh, I wonder which direction he's going with that. So, yeah, they're all in the New Testament. And that's because a lot of the mystery really has to do with the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, which the children of Israel, God's people, did not understand, did not see in the Old Testament. They didn't see the church age, and that wasn't revealed to them until Christ came. And so with that in line, does anybody remember the definition that I gave you? We talked about what the mystery means, but basically based on the Bible, what we're talking about. We're not talking about something spooky or something unheard of or unknown, but what is the definition I gave you with regards to a mystery? A mystery is a what? Does anybody remember? Something. It's a secret. A mystery is a secret that's kept in the heart of God until he chose to reveal it to the heart of man. So that's the definition that I gave you, something that was kept in the heart of God until he chose to reveal it to the heart of man. That's the definition when we're talking about these mysteries in the Bible. When the Bible says it's a great mystery, what he's talking about is that God knew something and he kept it secret until it was time to reveal it to the heart of man. And a verse that gives insight to that is Ephesians 3, verse number 9. That reads, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." So this mystery was hid in God from the beginning of the world. He knew about it. He knew it was going to happen. He knew it was there. But it was not until the time was right that he revealed it unto the heart of man. The mystery that's under consideration tonight is the one that motivated this study from the beginning. I saw this text and I said, you know what, that's interesting to me. I wonder how many mysteries there are that says this is a mystery, and I wanted to dive into that. And so we're starting with that one, although it probably is not, it's not in order of how they're revealed to us in the scriptures. As far as if we went consecutively through the scriptures and went through them, they're not in that order, but this is the one that I chose to tackle first, and that is the mystery of the blindness of Israel. The blindness of Israel, which we see in our text that I ask you to turn to in Romans chapter number 11. And I'm not quite there. If you're Romans chapter number 11, verse number 25, look down at that text is where we see this mystery mentioned. Romans chapter 11, number 25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So this mystery about the blindness of Israel that has happened unto them during this time, as we embark on this subject, we're going to see here a great reversal, a great turnover. Israel, God's chosen people, they actually enjoyed a relationship par excellent. I mean, they had a relationship with God himself. They were God's chosen people. You talk about somebody that had the inside scoop, somebody that had, that could see, that knew God's will, that knew God's plan. The children of Israel, God's people, definitely had that. In the Old Testament, no other nation in the history of the world received the direction that God gave the children of Israel. He told them where to go, what to do. He led them by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. You talk about a direct communication with these people from God Almighty in a time when God had not revealed himself unto man like this. They enjoyed an amazing relationship. Abraham saw a heavenly city. He saw that city. Isaac saw a covenant given unto them from God. They saw the possession of a promised land. They saw God protect them from their enemies. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13, the Bible says this, "These all died in faith." You know Hebrews 11, the faith chapter? "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off." They saw. They had a relationship with God, and God directed them and led them like never before. And then we see this great reversal, because now in our text we see that they're blinded, that they have been blinded. This is the exact opposite for you and I. We can be thrilled tonight because we, where we once were blind, now we see. Where we once were the people were separated from God, we did not have that relationship. We didn't have Him giving us direction and telling us and leading us in our life and protecting us from the enemy and all of this. We didn't have that, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, we were once blind, now we can see. And this is the reversal I'm talking about, where in the Old Testament, God's people, the children of Israel, they could see. They had direction from God. But now, they're blinded. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 is a discourse on how the Jews fit into God's plan. We get to chapter number 11, and He reveals unto us that, in fact, they are blinded. So let me give you some stuff as we consider this, the mystery of blindness. The mystery of blindness. Blinded is means, the word there, the Greek word, means one whose mind has been blunted. A dulled perception. A lack of discernment. So we're obviously not talking here about a physical blindness. We're not talking about not being able to see with your eyes. We're talking about not being able to see with your mind, not being able to understand and perceive. In modern vernacular, you could say somebody that was just hard-headed. Have you ever tried to give somebody some advice and say, "Listen, I've been there. If you do this, this is what's going to happen." And they say, "Okay," and they do it anyway. They didn't see it, did they? They were, according to this word, blinded. They were hard-headed. They just drove right into it regardless. Although the evidence was there, the example was there, the truth was there, you told them, "Listen, I've done it. If you do this, this is what's going to happen." And they did it anyway, and it happened. And you want to go, "I told you so. I told you that was going to happen." But they were blinded. They were hard-headed. They had their mind made up, and that's what you see with the children of Israel. They had their mind made up. Although Jesus Christ came, they knew Jesus was going to come. They knew He was going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew He was going to come. All the prophecies. And yet, when He came, and all the prophecies were fulfilled, they were blinded. They didn't see it. They're like, "What? No, that's not the Messiah. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the Messiah we're looking for." They were blinded. The nation of Israel mentioned in this verse is talking about the Israel as a nation, as the Jewish people. So we see here that this blindness is a spiritual blindness. I'm going to give you a lot of different scriptures tonight. I don't know that you'll have time to turn to them all, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 14 and 15, he says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." They read the Old Testament. That was a veil, but Jesus Christ came and did away with the veil. Jesus Christ came and the veil was, when He died on the cross, the veil was rent. But they are blinded by the same veil. That's been done away with. It's gone. But they are still blinded by that. Verse number 15 says, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts." So even unto this day, and you know that the Jewish people as a whole do not look towards the New Testament. They look back to the Old Testament. That thing has become a veil unto them, where they can't see the truths of the New Testament. It's still there. They can't see. They've been blinded. It's not a physical blindness. It's not an intellectual blindness. You see, you can be very, very smart and be spiritually dumb. You can be intellectually very, very smart and yet still spiritually blind. Now, God's people are still God's people. We need to understand the Jew is blind because they pursued a path that they did not want to recognize Jesus as Lord. It's a blindness that can be seen no clearer than in any other place than the scribes and the Pharisees. I mean, it's so evident in their life. They were there, they were with Jesus, they saw Jesus, and still could not recognize or acknowledge it. This is not by chance that they pursued this path. The Lord knew that it would happen. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 14, he says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." You see, Isaiah said that it was going to happen, that they would hear and not understand. They would see and not see, because they chose to be blind. It was a spiritual blindness. It's a judicial blindness. A judicial blindness. It was a judgment pronounced upon them because they didn't want to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Now, continually, why don't you turn back to verse number 8. We'll read verse number 8, 9, and 10 of Romans chapter number 11. This is a quote from three different sources. He's quoting here in these verses from Deuteronomy chapter 29, from Isaiah chapter 29, and from Psalm 69, which is very pertinent. But listen to what he says here in chapter 11, verse number 8 and 9 and 10. He says, "According as it is written." Okay, he said, "It is written." According as it's written. And then he's quoting the passages that I told you, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, and Psalms. He says, "As it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see, ears that should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and the tarp a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always." See, it was written. A Jew wrote this, and he says, hey, it was written. Even David prophesied. David proclaimed a curse upon God's people, upon Israel, because they did not see. He says here, and David said, "Let their table be made a snare." This was the place of worship. There became a stumbling block for them. Their religion, the law, became a stumbling block unto them. Their self-righteousness, and it still is a stumbling block unto them today. He asked them, David said, "Let their altar be a snare." And my, is it an altar? Is it a snare unto them? I'll tell you what, the children of Israel, from the latest research that I could find, 40% of the nation of Israel is secular. They claim no religious affiliation at all. They're secular. 23% of the nation are Masoretic Jews, following the original path. 23% of the nation. 14% are Muslim. 10% claim other religions. 8% are ultra-Orthodox, and 2% are Christian. It's a snare unto them, their religion, holding this back. It was a judgment of God upon them because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Their self-righteousness became more important than knowing Jesus. They didn't see the blessings of God and that God had given them. They didn't recognize that God was sending a Messiah through them. And instead of recognizing that great and tremendous blessing of God on their life, on their nation, that God was sending the Savior of the world through their nation, they took all that God gave them and became self-righteous with it. They took all that God had revealed to them and became holier than the rest of the world. Let me just throw this out. If God blesses you with understanding, with ability, with gifts, with means, however it is that God blessed you, remember, we have no right to puff ourselves up and say, wow, look at me. We're the nation of Israel, Jesus the Messiah, or the Messiah is coming through us. Which of you can add, you know, to his stature? Which of you can add to the hairs on your head? Which of you can... No, it's all from God. Any ability we have, any gifts we have, any means we have, it's all from God. How dare we puff ourselves up and pretend or think that we somehow are higher or more elevated or more important than anybody else? Right. It's just God's blessing. And instead of being humbled by God's blessing as a nation, and seeing themselves as unworthy and looking at it and saying, wow, God is sending His Messiah through us. A small nation, we don't deserve this. Instead of being humbled by God's rich blessing on them, they became puffed up and full of themselves. Let that just be a warning to us. God's blessing on our lives ought to just humble us. We ought to just say, wow, I don't deserve this. But God is so good. And not get puffed up as this nation did. We see in our verse here that it was a partial, that this blindness is a partial blindness. He says in verse number 11, I'm sorry, chapter number 11, verse number 25 again, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel. This was not a complete blindness. This was not every single person was just going to be blind and that's what it is and there's no changing it. You see, God is still not willing that any should perish. God still wants all to come into repentance. They chose the blindness and chose not to believe. The Apostle Paul, look at verse number 1, this chapter number 11, verse number 1. And verse number 2, he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? He's saying, hey, God didn't, he's asking a facetious question here. God didn't cast away all his people. Yes, there's blindness, but God didn't cast us away. He said, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite. He said, hey, if God cast us away, then I'm in that boat too, because I'm an Israelite. He says, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not, what the scriptures saith of Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying. And he's quoting there, he hadn't got to it yet, but he's saying, hey, Isaiah said this was coming, this blindness was coming, but God didn't cast us away. He's not done with us yet. And in verse number 5, skip down to verse number 5, he lets us know, even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. You see, God knew there was some that would believe. There was some that would believe on the Son of God that He was the Messiah and they wouldn't believe the lie. They wouldn't have to be blinded. So all the nation of Israel as an entirety is not blind. It's a partial blindness, blinded in part. God didn't cast away the Jews. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto, what? Salvation. But he also says there, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Gentile. You see, Paul's letting us know that God, although there's a blindness that has come upon the nation as a whole, not every single Jew or Israelite was blind. They could choose to believe in Jesus Christ. It's a choice that they could make. And today, praise the Lord, there are many that do choose to believe in Jesus Christ. And we support a missionary that goes over there, Brother Sasser, and wins Jews to Jesus Christ, which is a very hard task because they are blinded. And you've got to get them to see the truth of the message of the Word of God first. To accept that blindness might come down. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how they could be blinded. These people that had such an amazing relationship with God could end up the ones that were blind. And we, the Gentiles, who had no relationship with God, but having grace extended unto us, can now see. What an amazing mystery this is. Jesus wants all men to turn unto Him. And Luke chapter 4, verse number 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover of sight to the blind." Recovering sight to the blind. Jesus said that. That's Jesus' words. That's in red. He says, "Hey, the power of God is on me, and I've come to preach this, the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, and to recover of sight to the blind." That was what Jesus came, that even the Jews would have sight and see. It also was a temporary blindness. It was just impartial, but it's just a temporary blindness. He tells us there, this blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So it's a temporary blindness. It's not a blindness that's going to continue or stay forever. This temporary blindness, there's many scriptures I could give you here, but we know that it's just until the time of the Gentiles is done. That is the time when every Gentile who's going to believe, believes. We don't know when that time is. But when that time comes, as soon as the last Gentile that's going to believe, believes, we're out of here. We're done. The rapture is going to take place. That day is going to come. The time of the Gentiles, the church age is going to come to an end. That time that was revealed for the Gentile to be reached, and we don't know when it's going to be. Sometimes people say they set dates and they set times and they try and describe it and they think they know who the Antichrist is. I mean, those of you that are older, how many people through the years we heard it. Obama's the Antichrist. We heard it. Trump's the Antichrist. You know, it just depends. I mean, we're going through it. Oh, those fell through. We don't know who it is, but we know he's going to be a man that all the nations are going to look to. All the nations are going to look to. And we don't know when that's going to be, but here's what's going to happen. When the last Gentile believes, the rapture is going to take place. And then the Bible's clear that this time of blindness is going to be done. It's going to be done. Israel as a nation, those that are alive during that time, the blindness is going to be removed and they're going to realize who Jesus was and be given an opportunity to believe and trust in Him. Now, all this tells us here, verse number 25, tells us that until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, he says, in part, happen. Look at verse number 26. And so all Israel shall be, what? Saved. All Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So all Israel is going to be saved. Now, that's not all Israel for all time. That's Israel as a nation. The people that are alive during that time are going to have a revival and be turned back to God and be able to trust. The blindness is going to be removed. God's going to remove that, and they're going to see who Jesus was and have opportunity to believe and trust in Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 and on, he says, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart," right, that I read earlier. "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Verse number 17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, which the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the Spirit of the Lord is going to come in to the nation of Israel in a very powerful way. The blindness is going to be removed, and they will be saved according to this time, this promise here. So it's a temporary blindness. It's not for all time. Now, there's a consequence to the blindness. The consequence of the blindness is given to us in look at chapter number 11, verse number 11. There's a reason for this. And I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto who? The Gentiles. So he says here, hey, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Did they fall just so that they could fall? No, they came so that salvation could be taken to the Gentiles. That is the purpose and the reason for it. Entrance of the church, the time of the church age is at hand. Israel's blindness brought salvation to the Gentiles. And there's another purpose for the Gentiles. We need each other. We need the Jews because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came through them. But they need us. I want you to see why here. And give you this. It's in this text. Might be verse number 19. Look at verse number 19. Nope, that's not it. All right, I'm looking for the word jealous. Somebody help me. It's in the text here somewhere. Verse 11. 11:11. Okay. I say then, having then stumbled that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Salvation came unto the Gentiles. And why? We get saved, but that will provoke the Jews to jealousy. Because where they as a people had that relationship with God and they were directed by God and God led them and they had eyes to see and God was leading them and that was taken away. Now they're blind. But that relationship was handed to us through Jesus Christ. When we trusted and believed in Him, He now leads and guides us. And I'll tell you what, human nature, if you had a really good friend, Matt, and all of a sudden that friend just started ignoring you, and started looking and taking care of somebody else and being a good, you'd be like, man, what happened to our friendship? What happened to us? And that's what the Bible is saying, that God did this that the Jews might realize what they had and that it's gone and desire it again. That it would provoke them to jealousy so that they would say, man, where's our God? How come we don't see? We can see how they're leading the Gentiles, but we don't have that anymore. And it might provoke them unto jealousy. Our responsibility. Let me give you a couple of these things and we'll be done. With regards to this mystery, we should pray for the salvation of Jewish people. They still can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The blindness can be taken off. We need some of them to be saved. We need missionaries like the Sassers going and reaching the Jewish nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They still can trust Christ. We should recognize when we see this story, the great working of God. As we see this foretold, they told all the way back, Isaiah said, this was going to happen. David said, hey, this is going to happen. And you know what? It happened. When God gives us a promise in the Word of God, we can trust it. We know it's going to happen. When the Bible says that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. These prophecies and these things that were thousands of years, hundreds of years before they ever happened, was given to us by God. And so right now, when we look in the Word of God, we can see that God's Word comes true. And we have promises that are yet fulfilled for us. That we're going to be taken up, caught up together in the sky. That we have a mansion being prepared for us. We have a place in heaven. These things, promises that are yet fulfilled for us. But because God has fulfilled all these that we've seen over and over in the Scriptures, we can be assured of what He's going to do in the future. It should strengthen our faith in God Almighty. Look at verse number 29 in our text here. He says in verse number 29, that familiar phrase, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You see, God's not done with the nation of Israel. Why? Because He had a covenant with them. He had a promise with them. He said that He would take care of them. He's blinded them for now, but it's only in part and it's only temporary. And one day He'll extend another opportunity for them. seeing that promise that God fulfilled unto them assures us of the promises that he has given unto us. This is the mystery of the blindness of Israel for this time. Well, let's close in prayer, and then we'll have our prayer time this evening. Lord, we come to you now, and we're grateful for your love for us. We're grateful for the promises that we see. And Lord, we ask you that you would just guide us, Lord, that we would have opportunities to be a witness for you, even to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people that we have, many in this area even, Lord, who we come across. And I pray you'd give us wisdom on how to help them remove the blindness that's there. Thank you for the promise that we see in the Word of God that's fulfilled unto the nation of Israel. And we see it even in the world today. And Lord, we can rest assured of the promises that you've given to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead and help us, Lord, as we move forward. Lord, we thank you for this. We ask you to be with us now as we go into our prayer time this evening. And Lord, go with us as we go our separate ways. We ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.